Today's shir is Masechta Abakama Daf Mem Vav. We will begin on Daf Mem Hei Amid Beis, six lines from the bottom. Amar Rav, Mu'ud L'Kar Yamin. If an animal becomes a mu'ud that it does damage with its right horn, and a mu'ud L'Kar Yamin, it doesn't become a mu'ud for the left horn. So the Miri brings down that there are Rishonim that suggest that the Gemara's example is extremely specific. What the Gemara means to say is that if somebody is a mu'ud for the right side, which is the stronger side, does not necessarily mean that this animal is a mu'ud for the left side. But let's say it would be the other way around, that it became a mu'ud for the left side. So there are Rishonim that suggest that if it becomes a mu'ud for the left side, it will certainly be a mu'ud for the right side, because the left side is the weaker side. So if it's a mu'ud for the weaker side, it will certainly be a mu'ud for the stronger side. There are Rishonim that disagree, and they say we need to understand the Gemara literally. Whatever you are a mu'ud for, that's what you're a mu'ud for, and what you are not a mu'ud for, you're not a mu'ud for. Amri asked the Gemara, Kaliv the man, as we discussed in our previous shir, we had a machloikus in our Mishnah. What type of shmira does an animal need to have? Does Ramey's opinion was that it always requires a shmira meula? Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was that a tam reads a shmira meula and a mu'ud requires a shmira pechusa. So the Gemara wants to understand whose opinion does this does this represent, and explains the Gemara. Amri, I leave the man. You leave the Rameya. If we're going to say that this halacha the Rav said is according to the opinion of Rameya, ask the Gemara. Homer has in Rameya said that echad tam vechad mu'ud, every type of animal shmura milabai, it always requires a high level shmira. The alivad Rav Yehuda, and we're learning that in one animal you could have two different levels of shmira. That for the side that it's a mu'ud, a shmira mu'ula will, a shmira b'chusa will be adequate. And for the side that's a tam, you'll need a shmira a mu'ula. Ma'ir kain smol. Why do we have to speak about a mu'ud from the right side and the left side? I feel it'll be a min. We could have spoken about the same side. Nami isbay Tzad Tamas v'Isbay Tzad Moedis. Because as we said, according to Rabbi Yehuda, at the end of our previous year, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that Tzad Tamas v'Mkayma Medis. And what we explained that to mean was that the animal always remains a Tam. It's only for the second 50% that becomes a Mu'ud. So it's still going to have, so in that one Karen, we could have two levels of shmira. On the tam, on the first 50%, a shmira meula will be required. And on the second 50%, a shmira b'chusa will be satisfactory. You don't have to go from two different sides. Amri le'Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, the Rav actually holds Rabbi Yehuda. V'lo'i sfirlei, but he doesn't hold of the extra point that Rav Adabar have made that Tzad Tamas b'mkayma medis. V'achkam Rav. And this is what Rav meant to say. Kai gavnam. And one side is a tam, and one side is a mu'ud. Hud mishkachas beit Tzad Tamas b'medis. That's why you could have an animal that's partially a tam and partially a mu'ud. However, mu'ud l'gamri, once an animal becomes a mu'ud, l'mishkachas lo, says Rav, as we discussed in our previous year, the question was, how does the halacha look at a mu'ud? Does the halacha look at a mu'ud as a tam plus, or does the halacha look at a mu'ud as a new category, the new category being called a mu'ud? So Rav Ada held that a mu'ud is a tam plus, and Rav holds, no, that an animal changes statuses from when it's a tam to mu'ud. So only if you say that the right side is a mu'ud and the left side is a tam, that's how you could have a combination. But if the animal itself becomes a mu'ud, it can't be partially this way and partially that way. Rav Elazar said, we learned in the Mishnah, ein loy, the only thing you could do with a mu'ud, ein loy shmira elasakin. The only thing that should be done with a mu'ud is to eliminate it. Amar Rava, my time with Rav Elazar, why does Rav Elazar hold that way? Says the Gemara d'Amar Kra, because the pasuk by the mu'ud says, v'shar nagachum etmel shol shoyin, v'huad bebalov, v'loy yishverena. So says the Gemara that shuv ein l'shmir l'zeh. What the pasuk means to say is that once the animal becomes a mu'ud, once the animal becomes a mu'ud, there's nothing more you could do with this. Amar Abaya, ela me'ata, when the Torah says by the bar, the ksiv lo yichaseno, that if somebody uncovered the bar, then the Torah says v'lo yichaseno, are we going to say that what it means, that the Torah means shuv ein lo kisul l'zeh, that there's no way ever to close up that bar? And if you'll say perhaps that that's true, v'chi teimin, if you'll want to suggest that that is indeed the halacha, but tanan, haven't we learned kisul, if somebody uncovered the bar, karoi, somebody covered the bar properly, v'nafal takashar chamar, if the bar was properly covered, then it's not a bar, and if the animal falls in, he'll be potter. So that's not what lo yichasena means. So why do we say that lo yishmerena means that there's nothing you could do with this bar? Says the Gemara, El Amar Abaya, Haina Tamad Rav Elazar. The reasoning for Rav Elazar is Kretanya, as we learned in the Brisa. Rav Nosson Omer, Menayin, from where we know Shlei Gadol Adam Kelim V'Rabotach Beisoy, a person should not raise a wild dog. V'ayamet Sum Ruah B'Tach Beisoy, a person shouldn't have a faulty ladder. Shenema V'Leisar Sum Dama Beisach, a person has to be careful not to have anything dangerous in his position. And included in not having anything dangerous in your possession is that you have to eliminate anything that damage. So the Rishonim point out that we paskin like Rav Nosson, that lo yisasim damer beisecha, the way one may not have anything dangerous in your home. So if that's the case, how do we understand the machloikas in our Mishnah between Rav Elazar and the other Tanoim? If we're saying now that the basis for Rabbi Lezer's opinion is the halacha that Rabbi Nosson teaches us, and everybody agrees with Rabbi Nosson, so how would anybody disagree with Rabbi Lezer? So Rabbeinu Peretz explains that the machloikis in our Mishnah is how to look at an animal that's a mu'ud. Do we compare an animal that's a mu'ud to a wild dog? Rabbi Lezer says that just like Rabbi Nosson says that one must eliminate a wild dog, he also holds that you have to eliminate the animal, the shor that's a mu'ud. The Rabbanan disagree, and they say that a mu'ud, a shor a mu'ud, is not on the same level as a kelev ra. And therefore, a kelev ra has to be eliminated, a shor a mu'ud has to be watched. So according to this, the way we're learning now, that Rav Elazar is not saying that you always have to eliminate your shor ha-mu'ud. What we're learning now is, the way Rabbeinu Peretz understands, the machlokes here is, can one manage a shor ha-mu'ud? But if one does something that is manageable, then the Rav Elazar would agree you don't have to eliminate the shor ha-mu'ud. The Mukhe Yosef, however, has a different approach to understand the machloikas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanan. Their machloikas is that if somebody did not eliminate the shor ha-mu'ud, will that cause that you have to pay for its damages? Rabbi Elazar's opinion is that even though somebody did whatever he can to guard his shor ha-mu'ud, if for whatever reason the shor ha-mu'ud did damage, the owner is responsible. Because what he should have really done, says the Mukhe Yosef, in understanding Rabbi Elazar's opinion, is what Rabbi Nosson said. eliminated. However, the halacha isn't that way. The halacha follows the opinion of the Rabbanan, that even though one should eliminate his shara mu'ud, he's not obligated to pay for its damage if he properly made an attempt to guard it. That's how to understand this machlokes. The Sefer Chassidim says, "Le'sosim damei be'secha." So says the Sefer Chassidim, let's look at the words of the Torah. The Torah says, "Michshalay nemer." The pasuk doesn't say that one shouldn't have something that could cause somebody to stumble. El domol, imyipel apish layomis. Says, why does the Torah use such a harsh language to teach us that if somebody's going to get hurt with your bad ladder or the dog or whatever, even though somebody, he baruch Hashem, apish layomis, he won't pass away, mala alavakosav, the Torah considers the person that left his home in an unprotected way, what the Torah says means to teach us, it's considered kilu shoifech damim. It's as if he is a murderer. And then that's one very strong point the Sefer Chassidim makes. And then the Sefer Chassidim makes another point that he says is included in this rule. He says, V'lo yachnes adam etzloi. A person should be careful not to have in his home b'nei adam shehem balik tata. Not to bring home into his home quarrelsome people. V'kei b'nei adam hamanishim v'kallim. People who speak inappropriately, they curse. Shalayakuzu is people who could get into a fight, a physical fight. V'lo yikallim, they may curse. V'lo yanish ish l'chaveroi. He says, nem domim. Says the pasuk uses the words damim, v'loy amadam el damim, dam hanoifel v'dam zaray. He says that this could cause irreparable damage for future generations. So he teaches us that bringing this type of danger into your home, even if no one dies, you violated the pasuk. Secondly, it's not just limited to these physical dangers, but anything that could cause an uncomfortable situation in your home. And he says that the repercussions are extremely significant because they could affect all future generations. Says the Mishnah, Shor Shanagach Asapara. You have an animal which is a tam that attacked a cow that's pregnant. And people saw this happen. And nimtza obra b'tzida. And now we find the fetus of this pregnant cow next to it. And we have a question. When did this miscarriage happen? And therefore, the animal that attacked it had nothing to do with the miscarriage of the fetus. Or did it happen after the attack, and the miscarriage happened because of the attack, and therefore, if that's the case, then the mazik, the shara mazik, has to pay for that fetus as well. Says the Mishnah, Shalom chatzi nezek lepara. You have to pay chatzi nezek, as is the halacha when a tam injures, when a tam attacks, you pay chatzi nezek. Revir nezek levlad. So the pasuk pshat revir Nezek Levlad is because normally you would pay Chatzi Nezek, but because we don't know what exactly happened here, we divide it. And because we divide it, so instead of getting Chatzi Nezek of this fetus, you'll get Revi Nezek, you'll get a quarter of the Nezek because of this uncertainty. V'chein parish nachas ashar. And then vice versa, a pregnant cow attacked the shor, and nimtza vlada b'tzida. And now we find the fetus next to the mother, the attacking mother. And the Teres Yisrael makes an observation. Here, the child is called a vlad. At the beginning of the Mishnah, it was called the uber. Why does the Mishnah use different wording? He says that in the first case of the Mishnah, as we just finished explaining, the cat, the pregnant cow that's dead, the baby that's found next to it is also is dead. That's why the Mishnah used the word uber. Here, however, the baby that was born is alive. But what is the question? Very do, but we're not certain. Im actually nachiyalda, if the baby was born before this attack, and therefore you could only collect damages from the mother, or im shenachiyalda, or if the baby was only born after the attack and it participated in the attack. So the halacha would be mishtam chatzi nezek min hapara. The chatzi nezek is taken out of the para. And Ravi Nezek, again, because we don't know exactly what happened, then we say that the Ravi Nezek is taken from the Vlad. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Mishmul, this that we just learned in our Mishnah, says the Gemara, is going according to the opinion of Sumchus, Damam Maman Amutl Basafik, when we have a question, Cholkim. And therefore, here where we have a question, how to deal with the situation, we divide the payment. Chacham disagree. Zekla Godl Badin, as we've learned previously, the opinion of the Chacham is Hamoitz Mechaver Olav Araya. The only way you could collect is if you could bring definitive proof that this person indeed owes you the money. But Tosfos makes a very, very important point. The Gemara is saying that Simchas' opinion is that when we have a question, we go 50-50. So says Tosfos what it doesn't mean. Tosfos says what it doesn't mean is that if I approach somebody and say, you owe me money, and the other person says, I don't know what you're talking about, I don't owe you money. Simchas says, Maman Amutu Basafik Cholkin. That's inconceivable. Tosfos says the only time Simcha says, Maman Amutu Basafik Cholkin, is when what Tosfos calls a Dror de Mamoina. We, independently of the claims, see that there is a Shaila. As we explained our Mishnah, refers to a situation where there are Edom that saw this attack. They're just not certain what happened here. Because they're not exactly certain what's happened here, we say, Maman Amutu Basafik Cholkin. But if it's not that we are independently have a question, just because somebody makes a claim, even Sumchus would agree that we don't say Maman Amutu Basafik Cholkin. But the Chachamim say Hamoitzi Mechaveroi Olav Haraya. Says the Sefer Oilus Chodesh. Rabbonim give drushes. How do we know that the Rabbonim's drushes are sincere? So he says, Hamoitzim Chaveroi. If somebody, by giving a shear, by giving a drusha, Hamoitzim Chaveroi, was able to change the person, if the person was able to change the person, all of Haraya, then it's a Raya that he was sincere and his drasha was earned honest and sincere. But then the Yitav Lev gives another shot. Hamaitz Mechaveroi, he explains the way to understand this Alpi Drush, is Hamaitz Mechaveroi, somebody is giving a drasha. Hamaitz Mechaveroi, he wants to influence people. What is the first necessary step for somebody to be able to accomplish that he should be able to change people? All of Haraya, we have to look at the person who's speaking himself. He has to serve as a proper example. If all of Haraya, if we look at Olav, if we look at him, and he shows that he acts appropriately, then he will be the individual that will have the ability. Olav Haraya, he will have the ability to change other people as well, says the Gemara. But when the Chachamim said this rule of a Maitz Mechavera, Olav Haraya, they added Klal Godel. Zer Klal Godel Bedin. So ask the Gemara, Lam Leil Mema Zer Klal Godel Bedin. What was the purpose of adding those words? Itzrich, says the Gemara, Tafilo Nizek Amabari. Even if we're going to have a situation where the nizik is certain that this is what happened, that the cow only had the baby after this accident happened, and therefore the baby participated in this altercation. The mazik omer, and the mazik says that, I don't know, where normally we have the halacha, bari v'shema, bari adif, over here we won't say bari v'shema, bari adif. So of course the Rishonim ask that we know that throughout Shas we say bari v'shema, bari adif. Why over here won't we? So Rishonim explain, Taisa says this, that there's something where there's a bari toiv, where there's a bari is a very strong bari. And the shema and the maybe is a shema gerua. It's a weak shema. That's where we apply the rule of bari v'shema bari adif. But if it's not that way, we can't apply this rule. Inami, another reason why the Chacham said these words, Zeh klal gol b'din, l'chiha de'itma, ha'maychashar l'chaveroi. Somebody sells an animal to someone else, v'nimtza nachan. And it turns out that this animal was already an animal that had a habit of attacking. And now, there's machlokes. The buyer says, I never intended to buy an animal that acts this way. And the seller says, I hold that you bought it to shecht, to eat, so it doesn't make a difference. Rav Amar, I raise a mekachtos. You have to give back the money because people do buy animals to work with, and therefore this buyer has a legitimate claim. The Shmuel Amar, Shmuel disagrees and says, Yochel Shem Eloi, he could tell the seller, I was certain that you bought it for killing, and therefore the fact that it's a nachin and I didn't inform you is irrelevant. Ask the Gemara, why is this the way that we look at this question? Amai, nechsi, let's look at this customer. If this is a person that has fields and therefore is likely to be buying animals to work on the field, his claim will be not taken seriously. Then his claim will be taken seriously. But if he's a person that is a butcher, so his claim, well, I needed the animal to work with, should be ignored. And the Ritva makes a critical point. The point that the Ritva says is that this halacha is in a case that this, we don't look at the rest of the world. Normally, we look at the whole world. But here, we don't look at the whole world. We look at this specific person. It says the Gemara, Latricha, we're referring here to a situation, it's a person that buys for both purposes. So that's not a way to tell. V'nechsi. So then ask them, well, we should have another way of determining. Idamei Raja, there's presumably different prices. See, Idamei Raja, if he paid the price of a plowing animal, it's obvious that he bought it. La Raja, Vidimei Nachsa, and he paid the price of meat, animals that are going to be slaughtered for meat, La Nachscha. Says the Gemara, La Tricha, we're speaking about a case, the Oker Basra, the price of meat is high, the Kamadimei Raja. That even though meat, animals sold for eating, are cheaper typically than animals that are sold for working, the price of meat went up, and therefore it's not a good way of being able to determine what the purpose is. Amri, so says the Gemara, the Rav says that we follow the majority, and therefore many people buy animals for plowing, and therefore we could say mekachtos. But let's say the buyer has no way to return the money. He should take the animal instead of the money. Somebody that owes you money, take whatever you can. So even though you're not satisfied, you want your cash back. If you can't get it, then take that. So if that's the case, so even Rav should agree that he keeps the animal. Says the Gemara, Deka Lashtalumimene. We're speaking about a case that the buyer does have the ability to pay back. Rav Amar Hareza Mekachtos. So now the Gemara says, explains each opinion. Rav considered a Mekachtos, Zil Basar Rabba, because we follow the majority of situations. V'rayv in Shila Ridya Hudazavni. Most people buy animals to work with, and therefore, since this animal is not an animal that you can work with, it's a Mekachtos. The Shmuel's opinion is, the seller could say to the buyer, L'shchita mechati lach, I sold it to you for shchita. V'lezlin basaruba, we don't follow the roiv. Because, says Shmuel, ki hazlin basaruba, when is the halacha that we follow the roiv? Be sura, by halachas of issa v'heter. Avo b'mamayna, here it's a financial issue, l'hazlin basaruba, we don't follow roiv. Ella, the rule is, as and that was the whole point of what we're trying to say. Ella hamotz mechavera olav araya. And Tanya nami hachi. It says the Gemara. So too do we learn in a brisa. Shoshanaga chesapora. If an animal attacked a pregnant cow and nimtza uber betzayde and the baby is on its side. Ve'enem yidu em shloy nachiyacha em shenach yadu. We don't know exactly when did this take place. Mishalam chati nezek lepara. From the para that certainly participated in this attack, we take chatzin nezek, it was a tam. Ravi nezek levlad, because it was a sofik. And according to Simchas, maman amot of a sofik, cholkin. Chama aimrim, no, if the nizik cannot definitively prove, if the nizik cannot definitively prove that the baby participated, we say the rule of hamotzi mechaveroi olav harayah. So the Ostrov Tzareba, in his Sefer Meir Enei Chacham, asks a question. We know that if somebody, Rachman Tzlan, violated a woman, we pay knas to the girl's father. So he asks, the halacha tells us, how can we ever be certain that a person's father is their father? We can know for certain that the mother is the mother, but we can't know for certain that the father is the father. How do we know for certain? Only because Rav. But there's a rule in Chas that Roy Bilas Achabal, presumably the mother became pregnant from her husband. But we just learned that Ein Hoch Memom and Acharoiv. By financial matters, we don't follow the Roiv. So how can we collect the Knas? Says the Ostrov Tzareba. When do we apply this concept of Ein Hochin Memom and Acharoiv? He says, we apply this concept where if the person would not have had to pay. We want to rely on Roiv to make him pay. Teaches us the Gemara, Ein Holchim Imam Nachar Roiv. That's not the way you're going to be able to get somebody to have to pay. What is the halacha, he points out, in a situation where somebody, if a girl doesn't have a father, does that exempt the ma'anis, the rapist, from paying? No, it doesn't exempt him. The halacha tells us that instead of paying the father, he'll pay the girl. So in this case, the question is, should the girl get the money or should the father get the money? Since that is the case, so then we don't say, Ein Hoch Memom and Acharoiv, because this person is going to have to pay anyway. So now, this Gemara of Amotz Mechaveira Olav Araya becomes a very interesting discussion. The Sefer Mishpatei Dvarim discusses the following situation. There was a trip that an employer asked his employee to travel. And he says, I will reward you for taking this trip. And the employee took the trip, the business trip. He comes home and the employer indeed pays him normally more than he normally pays him. But then the employee gives him a bill for his expenses. The employer says, expenses? I paid you extra, and included in that extra was for the expenses. I'm not paying you expenses separately. And he says, no, you pay me extra because I agreed to take this trip that I don't have to, that was difficult. The expenses, you owe me separately. What is the halacha? So the Shmishpatei Torah says, we have to look at our Gemara. Our Gemara says that the pay could tell us what was intended. And that's why we see, did he pay the price of an animal that's used for plowing? Did he pay an animal that's for the price that's used for eating? So if the extra covers the expenses plus, so then the employer, combined with his concept of Amotzi Mechaveir Olav Haraya, will win the Stin Torah. But if the extra doesn't even cover the expenses, then he can't use that. Then he discusses another question. There's a employer that gives all of his employees a bonus before the Yom Tovim. And there's new employee that the employer didn't give him the bonus. The employee goes over to his employer and says, everybody's getting the bonus. Why am I not? It's the Minig HaMakom, and I accepted the position based on that. The employer says, well, I paid you extra, and the reason I paid you extra was specifically I gave you better salary that I shouldn't have to give you the bonus. What would be the halacha in this situation? So the Mishpatei Torah says that in this case, the halacha actually will be that the employee will win. Because whenever we have, he says, this kind of a din Torah, a very important element to take into consideration is the Minig HaMakom. And since the Minig HaMakom is in that place of work that everybody gets a bonus, it was legitimate for the employee to assume that he's going to get that bonus. And therefore, even though maybe he is indeed getting paid a little better than everyone else, it wouldn't make a difference. Says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel Nachmani Mayin, from where indeed do we know the halacha, this halacha that we're discussing, that Amoitz Mechaveira Olav Araya, where do we know this from? Shnemar, the pasuk says, Mid Baal Dvorim Yagash Aleihem. Anybody who has a claim should come, present the claim. Yagash Raya Aleihem. He has to be able to prove his Raya. And as the Pnei Yeshua explains, the Pasuk doesn't say Mi Baal Dover. The Pasuk says Mi Baal Dvorim. If all you have is Dvorim, if all you have is words, then that's not going to help you win the Din Torah. In order to win the Din Torah, your words have to be backed up with a Raya. Says the Gemara, Maskler of Ashi, Ha, this concept of Amoitz Mechaveira Olav Araya, asked the Gemara Lamali Kraw, why was it necessary to bring a Pasuk? Svaruhu, isn't that obvious that this should be the halacha that Hamoitzi, isn't it obvious that the halacha should be the Amoitz Mechaveira Olav Araya? He says, the Kav Le Kiva, if somebody who has a pain, it's his job, he has to go to the doctor. And just like the doctor won't treat a patient until the patient comes and explains to him what we need, what his needs are. Here too, if you want them to take you seriously, then the halacha is that you have to be able to bring a raya. So the Maram asks, in our sugya we've been learning, that Sumcha says that Mumen HaMot B'Sofik Cholkim, and he doesn't subscribe to the concept of Hamoitz Mechaveir Olav Araya. And here the Gemara is saying a Svara and a Pasuk to back up Hamoitz Mechaveir Olav Araya. So he says that the Rishonim point out, and this goes back to something that we said earlier, and that is that even Sumchis, that is of the opinion of Momen HaMutu B'Sofak Chalkim, it's only in a case of where there's a drawer of the Memoin, as we explained, that we independently understand that there's a question here. But where it's a case that we as Beis Din don't independently recognize that there's a question, even Sumchus will agree that we say HaMotzi Mechaveiro Olav Araya. But then the Achronim ask a question. We're so quick to say Hamotz Mechavera Olav Araya. But by saying Hamotz Mechavera Olav Araya, what may end up happening is somebody's going to be holding money that's really not his. And there's an Issa in the Torah of Lo Sigzol. So how can we be so quick to apply the rule of Hamotz Mechavera Olav Araya? So the Tumim says that the Halacha of Lo Sigzol only applies in a case of Gzeila Vadai. When I know I'm stealing, that's when there's Halacha Lo Sigzol. But Lo Sigzol was never said in a case of a Safek. And that's why we can subscribe to the concept of Motzei Chaver Olav Araya. Elakra, so says the Gemara, if indeed we're able to understand Motzei Chaver Olav Araya based on the Svara, Elakra, so the Pasuk, Ami Baal Dvaram Yigash Elohim, what is it coming to teach us? L'chav Nachman Amar Rav Avuah. Dam Rav Nachman Amar Rav Avuah. Menayin Shenazokin L'el Tvei Etchila. If somebody comes and makes a claim to somebody owes me money, and the other person makes a counterclaim, whose claim do we recognize first? The claim of the person who initiated these proceedings. Sinemar, Mi Baal Dvaram Yigash Elohim. He should raise his case first. The Tosfos says that the pshat in the Gemara is not just when somebody says somebody owes me money. That let's say Reuven says that Shimon attacked me, and Shimon says, "Yes, I attacked him." And as we're learning in our Masechta, if somebody attacks, there are financial obligations. But he says that the person I attacked owes me money. So says the Gemara, what we're learning here is the person who attacked has to pay that. Then after we do that dintaira first. Then afterwards you can have another dintaira. Another pshat that the Rivah suggests is that when we have this dintaira and both sides have to bring edim, the taiveya has to bring the Edom has to bring his Edom first. But even though there's halacha that we the Enes Gokin Ela L'Taveya Tchila, there's on the other hand as halacha that Holchanacha Nitfa, that if the Taveya and the Nitfa don't live in the same place, and now the question is where should the Din Torah take place? The Din Torah takes place in the place of the Nitva. The Sefer Torah of Rom, which was written by Avram Gorzhinsky, who was the Mashgiach in the Slobodka Yeshiva, says that there's a tremendous lesson in this Gemara. He says, the Gemara brought a pasuk that Amotz Mechavera Olav Araya. And Rav Ashi afterwards said, what do I need a pasuk? It's a svara. Says Rav Avram Gorzhinsky, what is the Gemara teaching us? What the Gemara is teaching us is that you can have an explicit pasuk, but a svara, which is a sound svara, logic, which is a sound logic, that is stronger even than a pasuk. And he says that we know that one of the portions, one of the pipes, something that we learn is called Gemara. What is the definition of Gemara? He says the definition of Gemara is exactly that. Something that is developed through the Svara, through the logic of Torah, is stronger even than a Pasuk. The Divrei Shaul Lambergerov asks, why did Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Posh Pshat and Gemara teaches us, teaches this halacha of Amotzi Mechaveroi Olav Haraya when he went up to Har Sinai and he asked Aaron and Chur, this is in Parshas Kisisa, to be his substitutes. So he explains that Moshe Rabbeinu, given his high level of Ruach HaKodesh, didn't ever need to paskin a Din Torah with the regular rules of a Din Torah, which as we're learning in our Gemara, the most fundamental rule is HaMotzi Mechaver Olav Araya. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to make a psak because he had the Shekhinah with him, he had the Ruach HaKodesh. But Moshe Rabbeinu was now saying to these substitutes, Aaron Chor, you're going to have to use the regular rules of a Din Torah. Since you're going to have to use the regular rules of a Din Torah, the first halacha I need to teach you is that Hamaitzi Mechaveroi, is that Hamaitzi Mechaveroi Olav Haraya. Amin Adoy. However, Pa'amim, that even though we just learned that we always take the Taveya first, it says the Gemara, Pa'amim, Niskakul and Nitfa Tchila. Sometimes we pay attention to the Nitfa first. Hechidami, the Kazil Nachse, where we have a situation that if we won't immediately look at the Nitfa's tainus, then he may lose out financially, or the Rishonim point out, there are people that are aware that there are people that are making claims on the Nitfa, and he's going to need cash, and that causes the value of his assets to go down. There we look the Nitfa first. So we learned in the Mishnah, came Parash Nachas Ashar, a cow that attacked the Shar, and we don't know, and it was a pregnant cow, and we don't know, was the cow pregnant while the attack happened, or was the baby born before that? Says the Gemara, what we do is, we give the Nizek, Chatzi Nizek, Vi Nizek. Says the Gemara, the owner of the cow has to pay Chatzi Nezek. The Gemara is learning what we say that he pays Chatzi Nezek and Vi Nezek. What it means to say is that we give him half Chatzi Nezek out of the cow and Vi Nezek out of the baby. But ask the Gemara, that should be actually unacceptable, because why are we giving him so much? Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Chatzi Nezek. What the Gemara meant to say was that not that he's going to get 75%. Chatzi Nezek, Lechem Arba Benezek. What the Mishnah says is that you pay Chatzi Nezek, that's how you have to pay, Revi Nezek, which means a quarter, half of what you would normally pay. And when it said Revi Nezek, from the baby you pay Ech Mishmoina Benezek, which is an eighth, says the Gemara. Vi Parvahad Chadninu, says the Gemara. If the cow and the baby belong to the same person, says the Gemara, Hachanami de Matzah Amala, so then the Nizek could say Labal Parah, the Nizek could say to the owner of this cow, Memanashach Lachatzi Nezek Avli, you owe me Chatzi Nezek because your tam hit my animal. Says the Gemara, the way to understand the case of the Mishnah is the par dechad, vlad dechad. One person owns the cow, and one person owns the baby. The ikadim tavei lebal par tchila. And indeed, says the Gemara, if he went after the owner of the cow first, hachnam damale lebal para, he can indeed say par tidach aziksin, your animal caused my animal damage. You're saying that the baby participate, havli raidis l'kshutvi, and therefore the owner of that baby should participate in the payment. Prove that that is what happened. Says the Gemara, what the Mishnah is speaking about a case, the padam debal vlad chila. He went first to the owner of the baby, and he said to him, Amale, gaya data d'shutvi isli. I know that you're going to agree that I certainly have a partner here, and I therefore don't have to pay more than a quarter, half of the half. Ikadamri said, but then there's a different version. Afgav the kadam tavei lebal par betchila, that even if he went to the owner of the cow first, matzchem matchilei, he could tell him, damalei meidi yadi, I know for a fact the shutva isli, I know that I have a partner here, and since I can definitively say that I have, you can't make a claim to me for more than a half of the half of the nezek. Amar Rav Ata Arba Benezek Vech B'Shemayna Benezek Ketani. So Abaye said that he pays a quarter and he pays an eighth. But that says, Rav is not what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said, Chatzi Nezek Ruvi Nezek Ketani. El Amar Rav Alolam Aparav V'lad Echad. The cow and the baby are owned by one person. V'akrama. Is L'Paro, if the cow is still here, M'shtalim Chatzi Nezek Men Aparo, then he'll pay the Chatzi Nezek out of the cow. Less L'Paro, But if the para is not here, mishtalim, he could only collect revi nezek min avlad, then you can't be sure if the vlad participated. So you give half of half, cholkin. Tama, says the Gemara, what is the explanation of the Mishnah, as we've been learning from the beginning? The lo yadin, because we're not sure he have a vlad bahadokinoch iloi. We're not sure if the baby participated in this altercation. If we were certain that the cow was still pregnant during the time of this altercation, we could collect from the vlad. Why? If a cow that's pregnant attacked, we could collect all of the payment, even from the baby. My tama, gufahi. There's a rule, this way most Rishonim explain, of uba yerech ima. And the baby is part of the mother. So just like we could collect from the mother, we could collect from the baby. However, tana goilus shezika, if a chicken did damage, ain't a goyim b'yetzosa. We can't collect from the eggs. My tama, pirsh b'almahu. The egg, even when it's in the animal's body, is pirsha. So there's two pshatim in the Rishonim. Rashi says pirsha means it's separate from the mother. And therefore, the egg is not considered one with the chicken, with the hen that attacked. That's how Rashi learns. The Meiri learns that pirsha ba'alma means that an egg is really just waste. And it's just like if an animal attacked, we wouldn't consider that the waste in the animal attacked. The egg is looked like perish. The egg is halachically viewed as waste.